Okay, here we are. Praise the Lord. Today is a beautiful day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be sad in it. Did you hear me? We will rejoice and be glad in it. How many need some more gladness in your heart? Who needs gladness? Because the Bible says right there, the Lord has made the day. We will. It's not an option. There's no, deals with God. You will rejoice and be glad. And you will be glad. All right. How many people need more gladness? All right. Well, we got to work on that. Because we need to know that with God, all things are possible. You can even be glad in your sadness. Did you know that? You can be glad in your sadness. Well, today I'm going to be talking about something that everybody dances around. Nobody likes to talk about it. Can you guess what it could be? And the reason why we're here, but it's the one thing people avoid at all costs when they're preaching, except the Bible-believing church, of course. And that's about sin. Who likes to talk about sin? Nobody. Matter of fact, I don't know how many people say, well, I don't like to go to church because there's too many don'ts in the church. I don't want to go because I can't do what I want to do. There's just too many wrongs and rights. I'm going to set the record straight about sin. And you can agree with me or not, but it has freed me. And Jesus came to set us free, and those who know him are free indeed. Indeed, that means you are for sure free. I can give you a complicated version, or I can give you a simple version. Which one would you like? Of course you want the simple version. So my question to you is this. Do you know that sin is in the world today? Do you know where it came from?
The tree.
I'm going to tell you where it came from. Because once you find out where it came from, now you can do something about it. Because we're out there going, oh, there's just sin. It's everywhere. It's just flying around. But what if I tell you that it's not flying around? What if I tell you where it is so that you can do something about it? And you pointed to the right place, and we're going to get there in a minute. So, the Bible tells us very clearly that we were all born in sin. Not plural. Huge difference. That little S. That's why the Bible says do not remove anything out of the scripture. No jot, no tittle. Don't change any words around, because every letter means something to God. And it says that we are born in sin. All right. There's a difference between a sin and sins. Do you know that? There's a difference between sin and sins. I'm going to give you the punchline. You want to go straight to the jugular vein with me? All right. Where did sin come from? It didn't come from God. Can we agree? Sin did not come from God. Did it come from the devil? No, because he cannot create anything. Sin is not a creature. It's not a created thing. Sin is the condition of your heart. We've been talking about it in the Bible study. I mean, I wanted to just go, I'm so excited you're talking about that, because we talk so much about the heart condition of the Israelites, the heart condition of Aaron, the heart condition of Moses, the heart. That's where sin resides, in the hearts of men. Can you do something about it now? Can you do something about it now? Yes, you can. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians that we can cast down everything that exalts itself over the knowledge of God. In Bible study this morning, we talked about knowledge, and that in the New Testament, it tells us that the Old Testament is there to show us how to live, what to do, what not to do, but it teaches us in righteousness. That's what it does. It teaches us what to do and what not to do. It's that, are you going to do it stuff? Are you going to go ahead and act out those sinful thoughts that become your sins? Totally different than the sin. Because sin is in the world. Okay, it's here. We were born in it. There was sin in the Garden of Eden because the devil was there. Okay? They had a choice. So that's why I believe that evil is still on the planet today, because God wants to give you a choice. If you had no evil, you wouldn't have a choice. You'd be good all the time. But God doesn't want that for his people. He wants to know, do you want me? I believe that's why we're here today, to show us how much we love the Lord. Do we trust him in every area of our life? Sins are what we do with what is in your heart. Does that make sense? Sins are what you do from the sin that is in your heart, from your heart condition. I'm going to give you a story. I'll give you an example. Let's say there was a thief, and he got arrested and put in a prison cell for his thievery. He stopped stealing because he had nothing to steal. He was locked in a cage. There was nothing for him to steal. Did that change his heart? No. He was probably thinking about all the things he's going to do when he gets out. Ooh, I'm going to go steal from that person. I can't wait. And he starts writing a book of notes of what he's going to do when he gets out, because it's still in his heart. He's not been conformed. What does the Bible say? Be conformed in your mind. God knew that's where the battle is. So if you can look at sin a little differently today, that's what I want to leave with you. It is the condition of your heart. What are you thinking about? Are you thinking about what the Lord has done for you? Or are you thinking about how you can get more from that person than you should get? We were talking about that today, about being in balance and not cheating each other. Because a lot of people are thinking, how can I cheat that person? And they're thinking it. They haven't done anything yet, but they're thinking it, aren't they? What's going to happen next if they dwell on it long enough? They're going to do it. I love to say it this way: where your mind goes, your body follows. Whatever you're thinking, I can be standing in front of the refrigerator and not even know how I got there, because my mind, my subconscious mind, was too thinking about food, food, ooh, food. Food. So then I find myself with a door open. What am I standing here for? I'm not even hungry. But my mind was making me move. So let's take a look at a couple scriptures. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For God made Jesus to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we would be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. God made Jesus to be that sin. So we do not even have to play with it anymore. We can just say, you know what? I'm sending Jesus to the door. When it starts knocking on your heart, what are you going to do? Let it in? Mm-hmm. Knock three times in the evening. You remember that song? He's knocking to get in. James 1:13-17 says, James 1:13-17, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. Neither tempteth he any man, but every man is drawn away of his own desires. What's in his heart is drawing you away. What's going on in your thinking is drawing you away. It's not somebody else's lust. It's not somebody else's desire. It's what is your desire. Where did sin start? In our mind. But sins come by our action. So the Lord wants us, even in David it said, create in me a clean heart, because I can't do it myself. That's basically what he said. Create in me, Lord, I'm asking you, Father, you created me a clean heart because it's nasty in there. I need your help. Because from my own heart is where I'm going to go and what I'm going to do. See how simple sin is? The devil wants to complicate it. He wants to stay hidden. He wants it to look very hard. It's not. It's easy. 1 John 5:17 says, all unrighteousness and sin. Where is unrighteousness? Shout it out. Where is unrighteousness? Where does it sit in you?
In your heart.
In your heart. So it's a condition of your heart, isn't it? It's not about something running around. You know, I just did an article. I don't know if you read it. See no evil, hear no evil, and speak no evil. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. It's up to you then when it gets in you, what are you going to do with it? Is it going to become sin to you? For from within the heart, the mouth speaks. Mark 7. For from within the heart, what is going on in your heart? Now here's the interesting part. You have a lot of knowledge. We have a lot of stuff in our head. Some of us have these big heads. We got so much knowledge it like makes us go like this. We got so much knowledge. It's that knowledge that then trickles down into your heart that becomes who you are. What you think in your brain isn't who you are yet. It's only when it gets in your spirit, in your heart, that it becomes you. Having a lot of knowledge, the Bible says, puffs up. Even Paul said, I know nothing but Christ and him crucified. He knew that too much knowledge would be a detriment to him. But he wants to use that knowledge. God wants us to use the scriptures to learn righteousness. Sins are the action of the sin within. Genesis 18:20 says this, and the Lord said, the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great because their sin is very grievous. God heard the cries of their mind. No, of their heart. God hears your hearts. Your mind can be all over the place, but what's going on in your heart, that's what God is looking at, because he knows that's who you are now. You're filtering all these thoughts in your brain. You're like a computer up here. All kinds of information goes in. Are you going to keep it all or are you going to get rid of it? And it's up to you. Amos 5. I like this passage. Amos 5:11. For as much as you are treading is upon the poor. Okay, wait, let me say it again. For as much, therefore, as your treading is upon the poor, that means walking all over them, and you take from him burdens of wheat, you steal. For I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins. They afflict the just, they take a bribe, and they turn aside the poor in the gate from their sight, from their rights. These are clear actions. They're doing something. Now they're stealing, but it first had to start in the mind and the heart, didn't it? That person who was a thief, it started in the mind, and he began to think, and it became him. Ooh, he ate it up, and it became in his heart. Where was Judas's heart when he said, that lady that poured all that oil on your feet, Jesus, we could have sold that oil for a lot of money and given it to the poor. Did that sound pretty religious? Ooh, yeah, I'm out there. I'm really going to do something for the poor. No, he was inside thinking, I'm keeping the money for myself. So he was a thief at heart. He was going to always be a thief at heart. But his words spoke completely off of the top of his head. You don't want anything off of the top of my head. Do you want anything off of the top of my head? So where was Judas's heart? He was thinking of himself. His thoughts betrayed him. Sin is a condition of the heart. How about a person who used to be an alcoholic? I know for a fact, and I'm not going to say anything about AA because it's a wonderful program, but I want to tell you something. I used to drink, but I'm not telling anybody I've been freed 45 years. I'm free. It's no longer in my heart. It's no longer in my mind. It's not there anymore. I don't have to, oh, you know, I have 40-year chip or something to say that I've been free for 40. Why don't we take it and say I've been freed from sin for 45 years instead of that one thing? Why don't we just say sin or sins? Because we have other things we have to deal with, not just what an alcoholic has to go through. I am delivered. Okay, so how do you defeat this sin? How do you defeat the sin that's in your head? You renew your mind. That's what the scriptures are about, right? David said, create in me a clean heart. Ephesians 4:22 through 24. Renew the spirit of your mind that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and holiness, which we just talked about this morning. God is holy. He said, you be holy as I am holy. Now, how can we be holy when we're not? When the Bible in the Old Testament even said, you guys got to be holy. It's because he knew their heart. I believe even if they did some horrible things, God would have, yeah, that's fine. But what's in your heart is causing you to do those horrible things. And he knows our heart. Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by what you do. No, it doesn't say that. It says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So let me think about it. When you're thinking about something, will it make you do something? When you think something, don't you just think about it? Oh, I think I'm going to go shopping. But it first has to start in your brain. We have to take our thoughts captive and say, what am I thinking that's going to make me go do something? Because it's true, we're going to do something. We're going to either do sinful things or we're going to do righteous things. Whatever is going on in your heart. 2 Corinthians 10:5, cast down your imaginations and everything that exalts itself over the knowledge of God. So what is in your mind? I read Acts this morning and I threw it in here, Acts 20:19, when Paul said, he served God in his mind. He started thinking about God. And then it becomes who you are. You know, I've been a Christian for 49 years, but I think I had a lot of knowledge, but it never really got into who I was until about maybe 20 years ago. Because the first years I was like being dragged around, you know. But the second part, I'm walking with the Lord. Totally different. I took those imagination thoughts and cast them down and replaced it with the word of God and his righteousness. It was hard. It wasn't easy because the people around you want you to still do what you used to do with them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've had to let go of a friend this week, and it was hard because I love her. I love my friend. But I also know that unrighteousness can stick to me if I don't watch out. If I hang out with a duck, I'm going to become a duck. Yes, yes. If I hang out with roosters, I'm going to be a rooster. But if I hang out with eagles, I'm going to be an eagle. I believe you're all eagles in here. And I would love to hang out with each one of you because I know your heart. Now, if you know your heart, you go, my heart's not kind of right there. It's kind of funky. Then have a little talk with the Lord. Get it right. It takes 5 seconds. You don't have to beat yourself up for a week and a half because, oh, I did something wrong today. I have to pay for it now. No, Jesus paid for it. His blood is just as bloody the day you do it as it is 2 weeks from now. Why don't you just take for what he did today and apply it to what it is you're confessing. Now you're in righteousness again, that quickly. If you're in guilt, you haven't applied forgiveness. If you're in shame, you haven't applied forgiveness. What are the works of the flesh? They're from your heart. I can't do anything without my heart and my mind telling me something first. Can we agree with that? Am I on the right page here? What is the works of the flesh? They're lusts. I heard recently that we all have lust. Can you agree that you have a little bit of lust in you? And let me tell you something, we all do, but it's what you're lusting after. Are you lusting after the world or after God? God left a hole in us to serve and seek Him. And we can say it's lust. We don't have to call it lust, but it is a form of lust. I lust after you, God. I want you, Lord. As to pose, oh Lord, I have to have that piece of chocolate cake. I'm lusting after that piece of chocolate cake. So the works of the flesh are adultery, fornication, being unclean, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. You want to know the list of what not to do? Go to Galatians 5:16. You read it for yourself, all the things. But then it says, but, I love the but gods, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, faith, gentleness, meekness, temperance. There's no law against those. But there's law against murders and revelings, and there's laws against witchcraft and hatred and variance and wrath and all that stuff, because they cause certain things to happen. If you're lusting after something that is not good, you're going to end up sinning, and you're going to end up getting in trouble with the law, and you're going to end up in jail. But if I have joy, is that going to put me in jail? I don't know. Maybe nowadays. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So there are things in our past that dictate who we are today. 20 years ago, I remember when I did that horrible thing, and I've just never been able to get past my 20 years ago thing. That's a time's past. And you got to let bygones be bygones. That's why we have a new year. Let old acquaintance be forgotten. And let the old remain in the past. Ephesians 2:2 says this. Wherein in times past you walked in these things according to the world. I used to steal. I was a thief. When I was a teenager, my mom said, you would make the perfect actress because you lie so good. Then I told her the truth and she didn't believe me. So I was always in trouble. I was on restriction since I was 12 years old till I moved out. I couldn't even get off the front porch of my house. I was stuck because I would always make wrong decisions. Where did those decisions come from? My heart. What I was thinking, what about me, what about me? I. Causes us to go down that slippery slope. Times past. You look that up in the scripture. 1 Peter 2:10. Which in times past you were a people, but now you are the people of God. We were times past something else, but today we're the people of God. 2 Timothy 2 says this. If a man therefore purge himself, what are you purging? Your thoughts and your heart. Yeah, of course, you know, I did go around my house and get rid of stuff that I didn't need. And by the way, I need to tell you something that happened this morning. And I told it to Gloria and Emily. And I said, my sister called me this morning and told me, get on Facebook as soon as you can because there's a pornography picture on your page, on the church page. I went there as fast as I could. I just saw the tops of their heads, and I know I didn't put that there, whatever. I took it off as soon as I could, and I cleaned it up. Whose heart was full of sin? The person who put that on my website, I cleaned it up, but here's what I did. I prayed for them. Maybe I'm the only one that was praying for them today. I just lifted them up. I said, Lord, speak to their heart. They're lacking in love. Fill them with your love and your presence. Amen. That's it. And then I went on my way. There's a reason these icky, evil, ugly things come before your eyes. Because he needs you to pray. Dealing with sin is easy. It's getting rid of what's in your thinking. So do we have the mind of Christ or not? I remember Joyce Meyer. I listened to her years ago. I have my people, okay? Joyce Meyer 25 years ago. Joel Osteen about 10 years ago. And now I'm listening to somebody else now. But Joyce Meyer said it on camera, I don't sin any longer. I'm no longer a sinner. Well, if you think about what the Word is saying, she's kind of valid. I wouldn't toot my horn about it, but she understands that sin is a condition of her heart. So she has taken her thoughts captive and decided not to do that sin any longer. Doesn't mean she isn't born in sin. She believes that she is, but she no longer actively participates in sin. Can we all say that? Do we still mess up? I am so glad that Jesus came, because I need a Savior and I need someone to take and cover up all my sins.
Amen.
Plural. He became the sin who knew no sin, that we would be covered of our sins. And I said this last time, God does not hear sinners. A sinner is somebody who habitually keeps sinning. I know I used to really sin, but now I sin less. I don't sin. I mean, I still do things. I'm going to always have problems, but I'm doing less and less sins. Is that true for you as believers? As you grow in the Lord, don't you choose God more than the world? Yeah, I think as we grow, the Bible says, awake to righteousness and sin not. Can we really sin not? According to Joyce Meyer. But what does the Lord say? It says, for some, here's how, who do not have the knowledge of God, they will sin. We talked about it in the Bible study. If you don't know the precepts judgments and statutes. I don't even know those words. Judgments and statutes. We don't even know those. We don't know God. How are we going to not sin? You know what the Ten Commandments are? They're not a bunch of do's and don'ts. They're just showing you what sin is. Without it, we wouldn't know. I think it's in Ephesians. Let no sin therefore reign in you. You can choose, everybody. So the next time, think about it. The next time, sit there and think about what you're thinking about. Is it a sinful thought? Could it turn into a sin? Then you take it captive and you cast it out and you ask the Lord to cleanse and make you a new heart. Easy. Why are we complicating? Oh, I have to, you know, crawl on the ground and hit my back with straps down the road because I sinned. No, apply what Jesus did on the cross. Sin is a state of mind. A state of mind. So what state are you in? Now here's an interesting statement. 1 John 3:9. Whoever is born of God does not commit sin. What are you going to do with that scripture? Just get rid of what's in your thinking and you won't commit any sin. We can take two roads. You can say, I'm a sinner saved by grace. Or, I am in Jesus Christ, made in the righteousness of God in Jesus. But they're both correct. One is a little defeatist. and one is powerful. You want to live as a daughter or a son of God, or I'm a sinner saved by grace. They're both true, but they both lead you to your self-image. I like the scripture that says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While in the midst of our sinning, Christ died for us. But we can also choose today, Lord, cleanse and purge me from all sins, 1 John 1:9. If you do that every day, you're set. I guarantee you, if you do that, you will not do that. Pay attention to what you're thinking. Now, let's say you end up doing that. You're over here. Oh, I shouldn't be over here. Oh, what am I doing over here? See where you are. Look where you're at. And then say, Father, forgive me, for I know not what I'm doing. And he will cleanse and purge you and put you right back where you were. That's as simple as I can put it. A sin is a condition of your heart. Are you going to pay attention? In closing, now that you know that sin is a condition of your heart, are you afraid of sin any longer? The word sin, you don't even have to be, I know what that is. The enemy wants you to think it's a big, gigantic mess so that you can't be free. To reiterate, cast it down. Take charge. It's your life. Think of the good things God has done for you. Remember his good things. Change your mind. I heard a quote that says this: a change is as good as a rest. Change your mind and you'll find peace. Repenting for what you see. Renouncing what you're doing. Righteousness is about changing your mind. Fearlessness is about changing your mind. We are to renew our minds daily, cleansing yourselves daily. Butch brought it up. How often are we supposed to obey God? Daily. Every day, all day long. I remember the time when I'd go, okay, this is Saturday. Okay, I'm going to go do that. Something that I wouldn't do on Sunday. Am I speaking to the choir? I have a feeling you've all been there a little bit. Well, I'm going to be good today because it's Sunday. But tomorrow, we are to be holy every day. And then when we're not, we have an advocate so we can keep going. Because if you get stuck in that thing you did, you're never going to come out of it. But only through Jesus Christ will you come out of it. So I want you to just close your eyes for a minute. And I want to say a prayer for you. Father, we come before you. You heard the words today about sin being in our heart. So, Lord, I ask you to minister your truth, your words, your righteousness, your statutes, your judgments that are in the Word, and that we would get them in our spirit, that we would get them in our heart, so that we sin not against you. That's what the scripture says. Hide the word in our heart that we sin not against you. Let your mind be in us, Father. Change our heart, Lord, today. Allow your words to be our words. Allow it to be what Jesus said. I will not say what I did not hear my Father say, and I will not do what I did not see my Father do. I am going to go about my Father's business. Father, I pray that that is the heart of every person in here. We are not our own anymore, Lord. You are our Redeemer. You bought us with the blood of Jesus. You bought us. We are not our own. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, we are yours. And Father, I know that people go, oh, that's just too much. What about me? What about me? What about me? And Father, you've made it very clear that the more we serve you, the more you give us. the more you bless us. We're hindering our own blessings, Lord, because of our own wants and desires and lusts. And I praise you, God, for you working in every heart here today to bring them up higher in a place of rest. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.